Welcome back to another soul session of A Walk Back to Self-Love. As we continue to evolve on this planet, whatever that looks like, one of the topics, of course, is our romantic relationships. What makes you happy? Where do you thrive in your romantic relationships and partnerships? Do you want it to be more open style? Are you into polygamy, monogamy? Do you never want to get married? All of these questions and concerns, we're going to try to cover it. I have my friend Zoe, of course, joining me again to talk about open relationships, polyamory, monogamy, and how it all just gets into this controversial discussion in our society, and where do you fit in all of it? Enjoy.
Zo.
Yo, what up?
are you ready for this episode?
Man, that was a devilish laugh.
I know. Well, first off, what did you think about our previous soul session on the power of sex? How did you feel about that?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I didn't listen to it because I was afraid.
What were you afraid of?
Sometimes I just don't like hearing myself, you know. I got some feedback though.
Oh, you did?
No, yeah. More so about the being vulnerable of sharing the sexual trauma as a male.
Yeah. No, I definitely think that was very brave of you and very much appreciated from my perspective, because, you know, I think most people who have met you or maybe currently associate themselves with you don't always necessarily see that side of you, or would have known that, because it's not like, you know, you're not going to go around and tell everybody that and be like, hey, right, guess what happened to me? So I just think that that was really courageous of you to share that. So thank you again.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
You know, yeah, it's funny because I thought about this the other day, because, you know, because of my career in radio, I can be very critical of myself. So that's why I listen back to especially interviews that I do with people to see, like, could I have done something a little better or whatever? But I thought to myself, wow, I've really grown as a woman and a person. Because if this was Amber 5 years ago, or like the Amber you first met when we first met, you know, in my first chapter in Fort Wayne, I would have never shared that where people could hear my truth about my sexual experiences. So I also felt like I was very vulnerable, but that's just because that's the place that I'm in my life right now, that I just have to speak my truth in all ways, but not in an overwhelming way. But I just have to be truthful. Life's too short not to be. But I think that there are boundaries on what you share, and then, but just being truthful.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the reasons that I really enjoy having you on to kind of co-host these topics is because we do stand in our truth. Because, yeah, it may be uncomfortable either during it or after we record, but you're not going to get some, you know, falsified story. You're not going to stretch the truth. You're going to get our core truth of how we feel about that said subject. Would you agree?
I agree 100%.
And I think just from smaller conversations that we've had about it, but again, I'm setting the intention that we just be vulnerable and share here. I think you might have a little more experience in this topic. I think I've been in open relationships by default.
Be juicy tonight.
Yeah. But completely okay with that. So, you know, and by the way, after the last episode that we did, I gained a new follower on Spotify. So, you know, I think people enjoy when we share these, because you and I talked about this. I said, you know, out of the videos that you send me from like TikTok stuff or Instagram videos or anything on the internet, there really isn't, and you can agree or disagree, there isn't a ton of content about open relationships or open marriages or polyamory, because most of the content is targeted to men and women, or whatever you identify with, as finding the one, getting married, being in a monogamous relationship. And sometimes you can mislabel somebody as insecure, or they don't love themselves because they choose to be in an open relationship. So do you think that there's enough content yet, or is it still something that is taking some time to evolve into the comfort of people accepting that?
You know, when it comes to the content and that algorithm, it's really what a person is entertained by, you know, because I would say I agree with you with the open relationship, but I see the polyamorous topics out there, though. It's more bashing it, you know, but 90% of the content is, like you said, the traditional relationship fairy tale content. But I'm starting to see a lot more of this polyamorous content out there. And, you know, American women just ain't going for it.
Yeah, I think it's still a very taboo topic.
Yeah.
In style of relationship, because people are just so conditioned to believe it's got to be monogamy or it has to be marriage. But I think as we evolve on this planet, if technology, I always use this example, if technology is going to continue to evolve, why are people in our relationships not going to do that as well?
I mean, because we're going to have virtual girlfriends.
But I think people are afraid to stand in their own truth of what they really want. And so I actually found this, and I chose this publication, brides.com, because when you think of brides, you think of like their traditional marriage, the monogamous type of wedding. But in this article, the headline was how to know if you are for an open relationship. And from the beginning, I think this is so true. It says people who don't really understand the concept of open relationships may make you feel like you're just getting permission to cheat on your partner, or where I interject and say, or you're insecure, you just don't value yourself, so you're going to just be in this type of relationship. But here's why they're wrong. Open relationships grant both of you the freedom to pursue other people in a way that's based on mutual respect, open communication, and total honesty.
I like that too.
I do. But I think this is where, if you feel comfortable sharing your own experiences, but this is where I think it gets dicey, because if you are interacting with somebody who is not healed, who doesn't know how to be truthful or a good communicator, you may get trapped in a situation where you are the other woman or the other man. That's not an open relationship.
I agree.
That's cheating. That's being sneaky.
That's another...
thinking you can dip and have your cake and eat it too. But an open relationship is where everybody knows about each other, however many partners you choose to have. It could be three total. It could be five, whatever. But you have to have clear communication, and everybody has to know about each other.
I agree.
Or it's not going to work. If one or more people involved in the relationship are not strong communicators, I don't think that's going to work either.
I agree.
And then, of course, you got to factor in the trust. Trust is hard in itself, whether you're in monogamous style relationships or you're talking about coexisting with other humans on this planet. Trust is hard.
I agree 100%. Oh my God, this is about to be an interesting conversation tonight.
Okay, so let's start out with And what I like about you and I is we're going to have two unique yet some commonality perspectives, because I'm single and you're currently in a relationship, right?
Yes.
So when I say that I've ended up in default, doesn't mean that I haven't wanted it. It's just because as a single person, you have more flexibility and autonomy to choose the style of relationship you want. But when it comes to, you know, dating another man who's in a relationship with another woman, that's where it gets tricky, because is she open to the fact that that you as that man wants to be in an open relationship? And if she doesn't, then I'm not okay with that, because I don't need to sneak around. I'm single. That's what I tell them. I don't need to sneak around. I have nothing to hide. Now, with you, because you are in a relationship, when was the first time that you realized, like, can you remember when you realized, yeah, I don't want to be in a monogamous relationship? And what brought you to that conclusion?
Oh, my God. Like 13 years ago.
Okay. So a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like over a decade.
Yeah, over a decade. I was about 27, and I was with this woman, and you know, it was a time of my life where everybody was having kids, getting married, in that pressure of society. So I found me somebody. She was beautiful. She was an attorney, divorce attorney. That says a lot.
Fitting.
No, for sure. And it was one of the worst relationships I ever had. And I think I got in the relationship for the wrong reasons, you know, but it taught me a lot. And how do I say this? It's already hard for a man to really want to commit anyways, especially if he's unsure if he wants to be locked down like that, especially when we're younger and we have options. And because you're taking yourself off the market, you know, for one person, if you're going to be genuinely loyal to this individual. The relationship was toxic, and I knew I shouldn't have been in it, but I wasn't mature enough and at that time emotionally strong enough to get out of that relationship, because I was planning on getting married, you know, and I had it planned out. You know, I just talked to her about it, say, yo, about 33, you know, I want to get married maybe by 35. I have some kids. She's a little bit older than me, like about 3 years older than me. So she was like 30, 31. And, you know, people don't really be honest with you at times. You know, they're like, yeah, that sounds good, da 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 da. And then when the relationship started going on, I realized that she wasn't about it like that. You get what I'm saying? Or at least I wasn't her person. I wasn't her person. But she wasn't able to communicate that with me. And I put in so much energy in it. An emotional investment into this woman, and for it to be gone, you know, from blink of an eye. Because after this relationship, I remember I told my cousin Allie. You remember Allie?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember telling her, you know, this when me and her started getting close, I told her, I said, hey, cuz, I'm glad you met me now, because the person that you're about to see, if you would have met me when I was that person, you wouldn't believe that I could be Mr. Romeo. You know what I'm saying? And I said, you might not see that guy again, because she really damaged.
Were you jaded after that?
Yes. In a weird type of way, you know, not in a way where I don't want to seek relationships and love anymore, but this is good with the conversation that we're having today. It pivoted me into looking at relationships in a different type of way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't even like talking negative about people like that. So like, I really want people that's listening to make sure that I'm not talking bad about this woman. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking.
That's good that you clarify that, though.
That's
respectable of you.
Yeah, I got none but love for her right now. It was just a time in my life, life lesson. We want the, you know, compatible people. I can't say how she feels about me, but, you know, that's on that side of the fence. But for me, I don't have anything bad to say about her as a person. Just wasn't the right fit for us at that time. But obviously, I had a kind of traumatic experience from the relationship and how I view monogamous relationships afterwards. You know, if you listen to like the passport guys that are on social media now and they're having this certain mindset of like, forget American women, this, that is a lot of guys that's been jaded. And I can kind of relate to them, but it's like, just because you go to a different country and try to get
right. Humans are humans.
Yeah. You know, if you trash here, you're probably going to be trash over there, but whatever. You need to do some work on yourself. So, and that's something that I did after that relationship. I took almost a year and, you know, was celibate and I didn't have it, you know, I just kept to myself and just really like took some time to kind of understand what went wrong because I couldn't communicate because it was like a silent treatment afterwards. It was one of the worst breakups I ever had, you know, was not mature at all, you know, and I had some great relationships, but that was the only relationship at that time that I would say, I'm glad that I had it because it made me value my other good relationships where I kind of was the F up.
Right.
And so like, it was like a karma for me. It made me value my past relationships, but understand relationships in a different type of way of what I feel like, what I want out of relationships, even if the woman doesn't want it, you know, which leads us into this open relationship and polyamory type relationships where a lot of people might frown upon it, but you know, if you don't know a person's story or the depth of relationships, then it's like you're looking at things at a surface level. Just because something doesn't work for you doesn't mean that you should be so negative and just like, oh my God, that's disgusting, this and that, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to understand a person's mindset behind why they want to have certain type of relationships. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people just think because there are multiple people that it's about the sex. You know, for some people, I can't speak for them. I'm sure that we have a plethora of people that try to do things like that because of the sex and taking advantage of other, you know, human beings or not. But those of us that are in a conscious, healthy frame of mindset, it truly is about the relationships. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know about you, but I know you got a big personality too, but I have a huge personality. And I feel mm-hmm. like I can handle a lot. And I'd be lying to say that only one woman is good enough for King Zoe.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that as a woman. The same.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and I would, if a woman feels like that, I'm like, yo, more power to you. But I want to see if you would want to know what AI came up about open relationships. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Since we talk about technology and whatnot, it's not that long. It says an open relationship is a form of consensual non-monogamy where individuals involved agree to human multiple for romantic or sexual partners simultaneously. I'm sorry, I am butchering this. Unlike traditional monogamous relationships where two people commit exclusively to each other, open relationships allow for a degree, a freedom and exploration outside the primary partnership. Now, open relationships, partners may have clear rules, which you talked about, and boundaries about what is permissible and what is not. That's trust, right?
These rules
can vary widely and might include guidelines about communication, disclosure for other partners, sexual health practices, and emotional boundaries, which that takes a maturity. Open relationships are based on mutual trust, communication, and respect between all parties involved. It's crucial for everyone to be on the same page and have a shared understanding of the relationship dynamics to ensure that it remains healthy and fulfilling for all parties. It's essential to note that open relationships might not be suitable for everyone, as they require a high level of communication, emotional maturity, and a willingness to change societal norms about monogamy. For some people, monogamy is a fundamental aspect of their romantic and emotional needs, while others may find open relationships to be more compatible with their desires and lifestyle. The key is to find what works best for the individuals involved and to ensure that all parties are comfortable and consenting.
Look at AI go.
Look at AI. Wow.
I just saw Mission Impossible, the new one today. It was so good, and it was all about AI. So it's like so fitting. It's so fitting that you use that.
Where you streamed it?
No, I went to the movie theater to see it. It was very good. It was very good. But it was all about how the world's changing and AI taking over and all that stuff. So I find that AI gives a better, a clear, concise description of open relationships. And if it's, and I think that that was the key thing. It's not for everybody. It's okay. It's just like going into a restaurant. Do you like oysters? No, then you're not going to eat them. But don't look at the table next to you and be like, you're disgusting because you eat oysters. No, you know, like, no, they're just not for you. But that doesn't mean that that person eating oysters is disgusting or lacks something,
right?
You know, and that's, I think, the huge takeaway about open relationships is if it's not for you, then just say, okay, well, hey, whatever works for you. But, you know, we don't live in that society yet. We're still not there where it's like someone could look at or hear something or absorb something and not take away an opinion or a judgment away from it, because we all have opinions and judgments. We all think on some level, well, I could maybe do that in a better way, or I have a clearer perspective of what is truth and what's not, but that's not always the case. Right. And, so I think it's still a very complex, because there's so many layers to this, as you know. Like, you could be in an open relationship. You could, let's say, using an example, let's say there's a man who wants to have 2 to 3 partners, but maybe the man has the freedom and autonomy to have these partners, but the women act more monogamous, or they are sexually involved with each other and then they all have sexual exploration together. So there's a lot of layers to this.
See, man.
Because just because you're in an open relationship doesn't mean that whatever's the dominant sexual orientation, like using that example of like 2 women and 1 man, or if it's 1 woman and 2 men, right, it doesn't always mean that you all are sexually involved together.
I agree. I want to throw a wrench in this, though. I'm just saying, like, I don't care for the terminology of relationships. And I am someone that has been in. The only thing I feel like I haven't truly experienced to a certain degree is marriage, where I've been in monogamous relationships. You know, I've been in so-called open relationships. I've been in a relationship where, like, in a swinger-type relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in polyamory relationship, and I feel like a lot of these things get misconstrued. The waters get muddy between these different dynamics, you know, and I don't care for the, I like how AI described it, but like being in these type of relationships, I feel like kind of like how you are, where you're at. If I'm single, like with, like how you are, I think by them calling them open relationships, if we're all kind of being promiscuous, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're dating around type thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a fancy way of not saying we're slutting around or hoeing around.
I was going to talk about this.
So this is how I perceive it. It's just like, I think whoever designed these words and be able to put it on the internet, you know, just to make them feel good too, and others that are partaking in these type of sexual activities in the world makes us feel better about doing it this type of way. But I'm like, a lot of times, this is my personal experience, these are not true relationships like that. It's like a nice way of saying you got a few F buddies, and depending on the communication, this and that, and they're not actual relationships with that connection. You know what I'm saying? Like a monogamous or a true polyamory relationship where there's actual connection with you and your partners, you know? And I feel like with the open relationship, it's like, I'm cool with you. Like, I don't know about you, but like, I've been cool with a lot of my F buddies in my past life. You know what I'm saying? Like, we was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't my girl though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. I ain't giving you no roses and doing all that jazz for you. Like, you know? And I feel like it's a soft way to allow people to kind of cheat. And I don't like it, because I feel like when I was in a similar situation like that, where organically, after a while, somebody's going to like someone a little bit more than the other person, depending on time spent, right? So now it's actually turning into an actual relationship. You know, you guys can agree or disagree with that, but it's human nature. And so now when you're in that type of situation, and depending on if you're still in that playboy or playgirl stage, when you're just like, oh, no, this ain't what this is about. And this is why I don't care for it to be like open relationships. It's like, let's call it what it is, man. We got F buddies. So like, let it be. I guess we can use the fancy term of open relationships, but it's like when we have our F buddies, when things fizzle out, they just kind of organically fizzle out. You know, typically without a lot of toxicity, because we know what it is, right?
Right.
And I feel like that's kind of how open relationships is kind of tied into. But we try to make it seem like open relationships is kind of like connected to polyamory. They are not the same. I would disagree that for the people that think that they are similar, they are not the same.
So why don't you break down, since you have a lot of experience with polyamory, break it down so someone listening could fully understand that you're not just out here trying to soft cheat.
Yeah, for sure. So, when you're in an open relationship, it's like you kind of like in a wild, wild west. You kind of, y'all can communicate. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you might be one of my main flings, but you know, I'm out here too. You might be out there like that too. And, you know, ain't nobody going to be hurt about nothing. You know, just long as when it's our turn that, you know, we're present with each other for that respect of each other. Right. So that's cool. That's where a person's at in life, and it is what it is. But when it comes to polyamory, from how I experienced it, it was I'm in multiple monogamous relationships where I'm not out there like that no more, because I have to respect the women that I were with. And I actually have different relationships with these women, like as if they were monogamous relationships, you know, wasn't no threesomes and this and that, et cetera, how people would probably fantasize and think. Some people may get down like that. Trust me, if I could, I would have loved it, but my women ain't one about it like that.
Right.
Boundaries, and, you know, you just got to know, you know, whatever dynamics that you have, how things roll. And, but these women were my friends. They were my partners, you know, they were my lovers. And, you know, it was gotten to a point where the relationship was so tight where I didn't even desire to want to be with other women like that, because I had everything I needed. You get what I'm saying? Like, I get one get on my nerves, you know, or I get on her nerves. We got the other person. It all just worked out. It just worked out for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And this lasts for almost 6 years. You get what I'm saying?
So you're three total, right? You and two women, correct?
Well, for the first 3 years, I was with two. And then towards the last 2 years of this run, I added another one. But I learned a lot with this situation, because it was so toxic, you know, with that third one that I added on. I realized that's my threshold. I can't do no more than three. You know, two is perfect. Three is like, I got to be in the right position in life, and these women got to be in the right mindset, you know. But, you know, 2 years with three women was pretty damn good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I was doing something right. Obviously, I had a lot of communication and transparency and all this good jazz. And everybody knew about each other, you know, so it wasn't no cheating stuff. You know, there were times where, you know, I never got all four of us at one time, but I did get twos, you know what I'm saying? Where there'd be three of us. So everybody was respectful of each other. But the one that I added later, she was toxic.
Yeah. So do you think that by adding that, it just kind of, it just threw a wrench in everything?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because it was new to me. You know, it was new to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm learning as I go, just like the women that I was with was learning too. It was, none of us done this before. We, and the other women, they'd tell you, like, if they can have me to themselves, they would have. But, like, you know, it just kind of, it worked out the way that it did. And, you know, because I was like, no, I don't want to be just with one of y'all. You know, it is what it is. And so, you know, we made it work. But I've learned, and the other two women at the time, after the toxic woman exit the relationship, we kind of all had a powwow. And the other two women were just like, hey, you know, this is all about transparency, this and that. I just went about it the wrong way of bringing her into my tribe. And, you know, we came to agreement of if someone else is to be added to the tribe, that they need to know more so in ahead of time, instead of just throwing somebody in there so that we all on an agreement and that everybody is meshing with them. Because they respected her because of me, but they didn't care for her because they felt her vibe. And it wasn't stuff. And they even was like, yo, it's not because it's another woman. It's because it's who she is.
Listen, that is true, because I was in a situation that, you know, it was very complex, and he was not, he thought he could pull it off, polyamory, and researched it, but he was not good at it. He failed the mission. And I didn't care for her when I met her. I didn't know about her. I didn't know she existed. But when we did meet and we hashed it out and talked about everything, she was all on board. Matter of fact, she wanted to be in a relationship with me. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't like your vibe. I don't like your vibe. There ain't no way. And so everything fell apart. And I was done at that point. Him and I lingered on a little bit. They parted ways. But I was just like, no, you have to be a clear communicator. You have to be truthful. You have to be honest. You can't be sneaky. So I could see how the other women were being supportive because they're in relationship with you. But yeah, if someone's vibe is toxic or messy or annoying, then it makes it very stressful. So my question to you is, did the women that the two other women, did they have male partners, or were they kind of monogamous with you?
Nah, see, that's the thing. It's the difference between the open relationship and the poly relationship. So, like, how do I say this? And some people may not agree with this, but it is what it is. I'm King Zo, baby, and this is just my reality. So,
you know, somebody's like, show, here we go.
You know what I'm saying? There's 8 billion people on the planet. Somebody gonna like it. But I'm the type of man where if I'm going to have a woman in my kingdom and she's going to be known as my lady, she's not going to be out there with other dudes. And I would tell these women this too. And it's just like, yo, if you out there like that, then I'm going to treat you as such, because I'm sharing you. I'm not sharing my woman, you know? And I always had the mindset of, how do I say this? If we were in tribal days and I'm sharing you and I'm trying to impregnate you and you get pregnant, I need to be 1,000% sure that that's my baby. Right. You see what I'm saying?
You don't need to travel back to tribal days. You could go current day.
Hey, for real though. Yeah, for real. You know, but this is the thing though. They still can do what they want. Don't get me wrong, but they have the choice. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, just know if you want that, you really like a side chick or F buddy then, you know. And I'm not looking for too many. I'm not really even trying to connect with that right now in my life. You know, it's like, no, I need somebody that's gonna commit to me. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's where a little bit of the double standard could come in. And this is no judgment whatsoever. I mean, you're my friend. I want you to be happy. I'm thinking about, for me, I'm all about fairness and justice in life. So I would be like, because I actually had a guy, he was like, well, I wouldn't want you to be out there with other. I'm like, oh, but you want to be out here with other women? And that's where it didn't sit right with me, because I'm like, well, how is that fair? So I have to be monogamous to you, but you aren't like, you know what I'm trying to say? And so I felt like it was a little, it was imbalanced.
Well, we got
to And again, like, I have to fully believe that you are that dude, that for you sure. are that man.
There we go.
Huh?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah.
Like, for me to go all in with that, where there's going to be two of us or three of us, I don't even think I would go more than two.
Yeah, sure.
Then you have to be like, prime, like high value man. Yeah, like you have to bring some enormous qualities to the table.
Yes. And I'm glad you said that, Amber, because, and I always say it like this, like, I learned to not debate with simple-minded people. If, depending on their perspective of their understanding of different dynamics of relationship, I only can go as deep of their level of consciousness of thinking. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, cool. I'm a man that it won't work if it's a woman that is promiscuous, you know, in a certain type of way, and she wants that type of freedom. That's not the woman I'm looking for. I'm looking for women that have the monogamous mindset where even if they don't like it, but if they like me enough as a man, they can accept it. But I know that they're loyal to me in a certain type of way. But you got to remember, I'm not out there though, still like, oh, let me get another one. Oh, let me get another one. Oh, let me get another one. I ain't out there like that. You get what I'm saying?
Right. It would be just the two women that you're involved with.
And then if something happens, it's because it's happening organically. It's not because I'm actually out there looking for it.
Right. You're not like on a Tinder account or dating website. Yeah.
Yes. And that's where people get it misconstrued of just like, well, you can have all these women and da 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 da. And I'm just like, well, let's break this down even more, you simple-minded person. Well, what's the difference between a man having a bunch of different baby daddies and baby mamas, I'm sorry, and he's still smashing some of them? What's the difference? There's no true relationships with that. He just has loyalty because of the kid.
Listen, I had a man say to me, just general, not necessarily presenting it in my direction, but he was like, oh, no woman will ever come between my baby mamas and I. And I'm like, good luck with that. Ooh. Good luck with trying to get somebody outside of that dynamic.
Write that down, because that needs to be a topic soon about dating people with children and baby. Oh, girl.
Oh, let me tell you, I have found myself in those dynamics. I'm not saying, I don't want to use the word dysfunctional, even though I have in arguments with men, but I just feel like it's a void. If you are a woman or a man that's dating somebody who has either, you know, depending on the dynamic, baby mamas, baby daddies, it's a void that you're stuck in for the time that you're involved with that person. And I don't want to use stuck, but trapped in, whatever. Because it's like, you don't understand the bond between a man and a woman that have created a child and brought that child into this experience, and that sexual connection that they have. Like, I've had female friends say, oh, I do not date a man who has kids any younger than 12.
Ain't that a double standard?
Because they're like, I've been there, done that. You have babies, you have young kids. They're just going to keep having sex with each other. Right. Until that child gets old enough and they realize, okay, we're just co-parenting now at this point.
Yo, we got to stay focused, because
we can always spiral off.
Like, we
by the way, there's a horn, there's an alarm going off in the background. So if you hear nonstop alarm, that's in the background.
Oh my gosh. Oh girl, we got to say that's juicy though. Like, we got to say it, Amber. I just don't want us to get
I know. We'll save that for another episode.
Yeah.
Dating people with kids. Oh my God.
Yeah. So y'all stay tuned, because that's oh my gosh. But yeah. I feel like though, Amber, when it comes to these different dynamics of relationships, I think it really comes down to a person's sexual, mental maturity, level of maturity, you know, and emotional maturity and all that good jazz. Because if we study history and really get down in the nitty gritty, I'm sorry. there was a lot of polyamorous relationships, from kings having hundreds of wives and this and that and et cetera. Nothing has changed. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, where do you think the, remember harem women, like all of that, that was all created from centuries ago.
Exactly. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. We just are in a different era now where we are kind of confusing the people, and people don't know how to think for themselves anymore, you know, because we cannot deny biology. So we can tell ourselves and tell men, oh, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But like, my hormones are telling me something else, though. You're confusing me.
Like, I know.
You get what I'm saying? Like, but my DNA says that I can handle a few different women, but you telling me that I can only have one vagina for the rest of my life? I don't know.
Listen, what did I say at the last episode when we were talking about the power of sex? When I broke up with my high school boyfriend, I legitimately said to myself, I do not want to just have one penis for the rest of my life. And I know as a woman, I shouldn't say that because I'm supposed to be pure. And no, I have sexual needs just like a man does. And I wanted to explore that. And it's a real thing. And I don't think that you should be judged because you want to explore multiple partners, you know. And so I understand the biology of it. I understand people having needs. I understand the beauty of humans. Like, let's talk about that. Like, we're on this planet, and depending on if you stay in one area of you know, the planet, and then you go to another country and you're like, whoa, like, people here are gorgeous. Like, you don't see this in America. You know, and so you're like, you're just overwhelmed with beauty and good conversation and meeting different cultures and connecting and finding your commonality. And that's where I think you could take the sex out of it. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that you can connect and have that vibe with someone or multiple people, that's where I think the term originally started to become a buzz term of open relationships.
Yeah.
But I believe that people who are trying to be sneaky or given an excuse to cheat uses, like you had stated, like you said it perfectly, the open relationships. No, like, you're either legitimately in a polyamorous relationship or you just want the freedom to have sex with multiple partners.
Yes.
Say your There's birth. A difference.
It's a difference, man. Man, I'm glad you broke that down so nicely, Amber. Thank you. Like, no, yeah. I'm out of that 100%. Like, because you and I feel like we have kin spirits in our own unique different ways. Because my soul, if I'm going to be transparent, is the type of spirit where I want to have my main woman or women. Like, those are my queens. But my lust part of my spirit that likes to explore and experience will love to, like how you spoke about traveling to different countries, et cetera, and having these experiences with other individuals that I connect with, but it's done, it's dead. And then I go back to my queens. You right. Obviously protecting yourself and, you know, this and that, but it's more than a sexual experience, because there's a deep, you know how, like, I'm sure you can feel this vibe. You know how, like, you might be somewhere and there's just this magnetic pull between you and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, yo, I might die one day. And, well, I am going to die one day. So it's like, if I'm in a different country and I have this unique pull with another energy, and it leads to sexual chemistry, this, that, et cetera. And it's like one of the best times I probably could ever have in my life, and a great memory. So when I'm on my deathbed, I can remember that. And I mean, this is just kind of like fairy tale talk. Like I said, I want to be transparent. If like I can truly live my true self of like what I would love to experience, and I would love to experience that without shame and feeling like I've done something wrong. You know what I'm saying? So like, right. I would love to be in this weird poly kind of allow Zoe to be this free spirited at times and to do something like that, but the women don't feel disrespected by it. But I will say this to you, because you talk about the double standards. I'm not a jealous spirit. I'm open to swinging. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't like right. that. It's more so women. A lot of women aren't like you, Amber. A lot of times, and I can't speak for all women, but women have a different connection when it comes to sex and relationships than men.
I know. That's why I feel, honestly, that's why I feel lonely a lot of times in life and isolated, because there's not very many women that understand me.
Yeah, you're a unicorn. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, know? And I say specifically women, not men. Because yeah. men are like, hell yeah. No, I'm talking women. It's very hard for female friends over the years or acquaintances. That's why I've kept my life pretty much private, unless I really built a trust with you where I'm like, oh no, I feel safe sharing this, talking about my sexual experiences, because most women are going to be like, she's a hoe, or oh, she doesn't love herself. That's where I've gotten the most of that critique, is from other women telling me, well, you don't love yourself. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Like, anybody that knows me knows that I love myself. I try to water it down sometimes so people don't think, oh God, you know, that's a front. No, I really, truly love myself, but I can't relate to a lot of women in this area because it's like immediate judgment.
Yeah.
And so it is hard, because it's like, well, who do I talk to about this? Which has always been men. My male friends have been the strongest support, who don't judge me and have told me, why don't you just start to embrace? Like, I had a man tell me once, who I did have a serious, you know, love for, but we just weren't compatible, because he's the one that pointed out to me. He's like, do you ever stop and think, like, if you keep aligning with men that are into this like swinger lifestyle or like open relationship, that maybe you are too? Because he wasn't. He was like about monogamous, but then there were times where he did kind of cheat on his girlfriend, but you know, that he's had throughout his time. But he was like, maybe you should ask yourself, like, is this the lifestyle that I want? And I'm like, you know what? That's a good point. And in that moment, I started to fully accept myself. I'm like, you know what? I'm no longer going to run or judge myself because I think, well, what would other people think? And I just embraced it.
Man, thank you. We appreciate that for real. Like, oh my gosh, like, oh, know thyself, how the Egyptians say, Amber. And there actually probably are a lot of women like you out there. Not as many though, but you're not alone. The difference is you are brave enough to embrace it, because society, at least in America, how do I say this? You know, we look at the statistics and we know that for every man, there's more women. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For every good man, it's even less good men. So it's like, if we do the math, one man can have like two or three women and there's still plenty enough women. But the thing is, women don't want to be in like, embrace what you have, where it's almost like, I don't know if you would be like open to like being the glorified side chick, where like you still got the version or part of a man that you want, but you still can go do your Amber stuff, this, that, et cetera. And then you go connect with him when he wants, because you know you ain't got to deal with certain things because he got a wife or a girlfriend or something and he needs to go deal with that. And y'all just kind of like do what y'all do, but you're okay with it.
Well, so I'll tell you what though, that's where I've kept it so much to myself, because I know the type of judgment I would get from other women and stuff. But that's where I have found myself more often than not in the bulk of my adult life. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been plenty of chapters where I've only hung out and had sexual experiences with single men. But there's been more often than not as well, like men who are involved with other women. And I've been the secret. I've been the side chick. But then as I started to come into my own, and after a really awful situation I was in with a man that I've talked about that I was blindsided with, I'm like, no, if you want to have multiple partners or multiple dating experiences, then we all have to know about each other, because I'm not sneaking around. I don't need to. And ironically, I found, and this is where I don't know if it's just, if it comes down to the mentality of men, but again, I find myself in a recent situation where I reconnected with somebody who is dating the mother of their kids. We have a very strong connection, a very strong sexual desire with each other, but he's involved with this woman. And I've told him multiple times, no, I will not. I will not, because I think about that woman. I think about if she's not okay or doesn't know that maybe you want to explore with other women too, then no, we're just friends. Like, that's it. Hand, hey, like,
see, you got morals. You got
respect. Yeah, like, I'm not going to do that to a woman. If she said, I don't care, do what you want to do. Yes. And then come home to me and we raise kids or we whatever. That's, you know, and this is where my own work on jealousy, because I used to, like, in my early 20s when I was still figuring myself out and I was insecure, I was jealous. I was screaming at men fighting and like, why, you know, pick me, you know, all that dumb shit that we do when we're insecure. Mm-hmm. But now who I am as a woman, I'm very secure. You just don't disrespect me and don't lie to me. Yeah. Don't treat me like a dirty little secret or a forbidden fruit, you know, like, just be honest with me, and we all have to be honest, and I'm cool with it because I'm still on my purposeful path. That will always come first. That will always be the mission. Mm-hmm. Getting married is never going to come first for me. Being in a monogamous relationship and being someone's girl is not going to, or wife or whatever, is not going to ever be number one. So therefore, I cannot be upset if a man wants to be in a monogamous relationship, wants to have a wife. How can I be mad?
I love it.
I just have to learn, like, we have to figure out, how do we break this connection? How do we not desire each other? And then if we can't, well, then there has to be a separate conversation, right, where everybody knows about each other.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Oh my God. Amber, you need to write a book. Like, I hope you embrace this more, because me growing as a man, and I be looking sometimes, and I just pay attention to some women. I just be like, yo, like, and I know some women that are cool with being a side chick because they want to live their own life. And, you know, when they want to disconnect, they can disconnect. When they want to reconnect, they can reconnect. They like that flexibility. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a flex relationship. And then she's cool with the guy having a full-time girlfriend, you know? And I think the women that have that mentality, I'm like, if they can own it, yo, that's a great space to be in. It's almost like a sub-poly type situation if
right.
the guy can be honest with everybody. But a lot of times the side chick be the secret, you know?
And I, you know, and I've actually been around people, and that's the funny thing too, not only myself, but then I'm also finding myself aligned with other people who are in their own open relationship / polyamory experience, but, and they all know about each other, but I still find that, like, the person who's not the wife does tend to do more work, you know, like,
yeah.
and could potentially be the person and could potentially be the person that gets the hurt most.
That is very true.
You know, because yes, I can understand why people get married, to share resources, to have that, you know, generational wealth down the road, or just to, you know, have that person that you build with. But if you want to have an open relationship, open marriage, whatever you want to call it, and you introduce a second woman into the mix, and the wife knows and is like, cool, we even sometimes hang out, or we go on vacations or whatever. Yeah. But you're still not married and you're still not sharing resources with that man. So really, if it came down to it, where it wasn't working anymore, who's going to get hurt? Unless he would divorce his wife, you're going to be the one that gets cut out.
See, man.
And then you develop those feelings over time.
Man, I hear you. That's why, like, you and I both are on a unique journey, because I'm like the other side of that coin, where I All the women that I've dated, I try to help them start a business. You know, one I help start a boutique. The other one, you know, help turn into a fitness coach, and then the other one, you know, help start an Airbnb business. You get what I'm saying? Because in their past marriages or relationships, the guys built something, and then when the relationship ended, the women left with nothing. So I always felt that's why I'm King Zo. It's like I got such of abundance mindset where nah, you, I'm going to, while you're with me, if you leave me, just know that I left, you left a better woman, a better person. You know what I'm saying? Because I instilled some things into you, or you know, we started something together still. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully we can put our differences to the side and still get this bag. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm like, when situations happen like that, I feel like those are immature relationships and the foundation is not strong. And a lot of times it's not strong because it was built off of merely just sex.
Yeah, totally.
Can we clip that?
I mean, honestly, I really, as I was prepping for this episode, I was taking snapshots of like the major, because my friend actually said to me recently, he was like, "Do you know that you kind of, in a way, have been in a monogamous relationship with like different men because you haven't been out there like putting yourself out there?" And I think when you find that you have a strong connection, like with two or three men at the same time, that's fulfilling enough for me. I don't
Yes.
need to go out and at first of all, I've never in my entire adult life ever been a serial dater, ever. I've never wanted to go on dating sites. I tried Tinder, deleted it 25 minutes later. Like, it's just not my vibe. It's not my energy. I like meeting people, having commonality, talking business, talking life,
Connection.
talking human rights, talking politics, like all of it, all of it. You have to have depth.
Yeah.
And I find that it's weird because time can pass, but then it's like, boom, we're reconnected. And then you find out, oh, well, you're dating someone. Well, I'm not cool with that. Like, or hey, she doesn't care, or hey, I'm single. But it's kind of been the same men that I've entertained in the last like few years. Does that make sense?
It does.
So it's like I've been in a relationship, but not the full-on commitment.
Got you. You need to do some shadow work.
I mean, I'm like, is that karma? Some call it soul tie, but it's not toxic. There was only one that was incredibly toxic, where he just, yeah, lesson learned. But the rest of the guys that I've, reconnected with, or we have this strong connection, it's not toxic. It's supportive, it's loving, it's encouraging. But yeah, just, I don't know, I'm still learning because this is like number four on my life list. You know what I mean? It's not one or two. And I had a friend help me point that out. Like, what is your top three, priorities of your life? And relationship, romantic relationship was not top three. So therefore, if it's not top three, your energy's not going there, except for when at night, when you're like, damn, I'm laying in this bed by myself. And not even sex, just like talking or watching TV, or you get, but it's not every night, trust me. It's not every night. But I think when you put your energy into what you want, that's where your focus is going to go.
Agree, but I don't think that's a bad thing, though, Amber.
I don't either, but
You know?
sometimes, like this past weekend, I was like, damn,
Like,
damn.
for sure, you know, because you really,
And not even, again, not even just sex. It's
yeah,
just companionship.
relationship,
Companionship.
yeah,
But it's not enough of a loneliness feeling where I'm like, okay, I want to be in a relationship. Nope, because you know what I think about more than anything outside of my health and my spirituality? my purpose on this earth,
yeah,
career, finances, that just takes priority in my life. And I don't know if that will ever change. So therefore, when I said earlier in this episode, I've kind of been in open relationships by default. If you are a single woman or single man, and your career and chasing the bag and whatever, your spirituality is all a priority, or finding a lifestyle in a city that you really thrive in, who are you supposed to find time to spend with? Because one, I'm 40 now, which I love it. I don't feel 40, whatever that's supposed to feel like. But men also have that, as I'm learning, that clock that ticks where it's like, I want a wife. Maybe it's not too late for me to have kids. So you're like, well, I don't know if I want that. So therefore, what are you now in? Yeah, I don't want to date some 20-something-year-old because that's not just for me. That's just not it. So it's an interesting new chapter of life as I, you know, new decade of life, because you're like, well, then who am I spending time with if I know where my priorities are? Right. And will they ever change?
Oh my gosh. You just gave me the question you asked me at the beginning of the episode about my last monogamous relationship and like what I couldn't put it into words though. And you just did for me of like switching out my priority, because remember I was like, you know, I got into a phase of where, you know, I was like, I think I need to get married, this, that. So like that came a priority that should not have been a priority. And reason why it's switching, why I like the way that you think, but this situation wired me to be more purpose-driven, is because I understand the detriment of the wrong relationships. And focusing on that will take me off my path. It will take me off my journey, because when this person leaves you and crumbles and you got to pick up your pieces, they're gone. And instead of me being encouraged and focused on my journey and my path and my purpose, I'm now putting myself back together because of a relationship that deterred me from that. So why should we, especially if we know that we have a higher, if you don't have that type of higher purpose calling in your life, it's cool. But I know you and I do. So I can relate to you with that, where no, I'm sorry, relationship is not going to be number one on my list. It's not that I care less for it or anything like that. It's more so that I have to have these be my main focuses before this type of relationship, because I know the detriment of what this can do to me. And if this person actually does care for me, they're going to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Because otherwise, it's like, you want to be that main focus, but you like that I'm purpose driven, because I can't do both. I can't
right.
do both. And you ain't going to give two, you know what, if you break my heart or whatever that looks like. And now you're out of my life. And now I have to figure out how to get back on my path. You
listen, I know.
You're a distraction. Relationships can be distractions for purpose-driven people. And I'm glad that you're owning that. Like,
you know, and I think even though I still am figuring things out and working towards goals and everything, I really, in like my soul and in like my bones, feel that men are not a priority like most women have them as a priority, you know, for like husbands and such, but more so that they've been a distraction for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was meant to be married, and it's not, oh, you haven't put yourself out there, or oh, you know, whatever people want to throw my, no, it's a feeling that I have, even if I'm still trying and I'm still climbing and I'm still reaching, it's a feeling that it's not a priority, that there's other things that I need to work on. And that's why anytime I've ever made a man or forced it to be a priority, it's crumbled and drastically, life has shifted things and moved, not even just like pushed me in another direction, like made shit crumble to the point where I didn't have any other option but to go this only door that was open because it was such a distraction. And I can't ignore that. And so I just find peace with every chapter and, you know, be grateful for the men that I've met, be grateful for the lessons it taught, and then keep going along my path. And, you know, so it's like, I don't sit in doom and gloom about it, but it definitely, that's why I wanted to have this topic, because I truly believe that you are in a polyamorous relationship, whereas I've been more in that open relationship defaulty area. And then there are people that are using that as an excuse to go have fun and either cheat or openly. Like, imagine a man or a woman telling each other, like, hey, I have sexual needs that I don't necessarily, if they can communicate it this way in a respectful way, and I need to have my needs met elsewhere. And if he or she's not okay with it, where does that leave their relationship? So what, you're just going to go cheat on me? Well, no, I'm telling you, like, I have a friend who on first dates, he doesn't waste any time. First dates, he tells women, I'm not into monogamy. If you're not okay with that, then we'll have a nice dinner. It was nice to meet you. But he doesn't lead them on. He doesn't try to change or, you know, give them false hope. And he's just direct about it.
Like,
and I think that's good, because then you are laying the cards on the table and you are leaving it up to that person to say, I'm okay with it, I'm not okay with it, because this isn't going to change, but just know what you're getting yourself into.
Amber, I'm envious of you. I'm telling you, like, if whatever the situation I'm in now, like, if that ever ends at some point, whatever that looks like, I'm really back on your journey in life, because, man, relationships, man, this shit, it's work. It's work. It's a distraction. And I'd rather take that energy into entrepreneurship or my purpose. And if the blessing for me, I feel like in the future, if the women can be aligned with my purpose.
Yeah.
You know what,
like,
I mean?
No, I was thinking this. Like, this is no disrespect. Don't want anybody to take this in a disrespectful way. But I was never okay with just sitting home during the weeknights, watching Netflix, going out to eat maybe on the weekends, and like dating a banker. There's nothing wrong with bankers. Bankers are needed and respected. But my point is, I've always felt since as far back as I can remember that if I was going to end up with someone, it was going to be a purposeful, high level partnership where we don't necessarily have to do the exact same thing, but we're like,
y'all building.
Yes.
Yep.
And yep. You're not building as a side chick,
yeah.
You know, like, or side man, you know, like, you're just not, you're helping, you're giving advice, you're supporting, but you're not building.
I think the opportunities for the side people are there to build, though. It's just finding those right people, though.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that, okay, cool, because our topic is open relationships. So my first real serious open relationship, this kind of like led me into poly type life, but it was after that last monogamous relationship. Me and this person was together for like a year and a half. One of the best relationships I ever had. You know, she was in the nursing field trying to become art. I don't know. She was moving up in the into the health field world, you know. And I was focused on building the burn zone at the time, at the beginning stages of it. And so it was perfect for both of us, because we were both so busy and focused on our purpose of what we were trying to create. But where the relationship or the open relationship got tricky was after, towards that year and a half, where she reached her goal and started getting a little complacent. Then she started nudging at me for a traditional relationship, you know?
Mm.
And that's when it was like, yo, I ain't ready. And she was a dope chick. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, I remember, I ain't got nothing bad to say about this girl, but I wasn't ready for that. And I love the dynamics that we had, you know, because I feel like, yo, that could last for almost ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have to deal with all this other stuff that comes with traditional relationships.
And yeah.
because they she had her own purpose and focus, whatever, that she had to take care of. And we came together for our other needs, the companionship and some things, et cetera, to fill up that bucket. And then once we got it filled, we go back onto our vision. We're not. After what I'm in now, I'll be open to finding things like that, but it needs to happen organically.
Right.
And I'll be okay with when those things fizzle out, because it has still allowed me to stay focused, you know, and
yeah.
That can be a lonely life, but I'm just like, is it really lonely? Because I feel like we're loners, but we're extroverts, introverts.
Right. And yeah.
When we want to meet people, we can meet as many people as we want, and we can be the light of the party. And also we can be in the corner, people watching.
So. Right. Exactly. Thank you. Because I love people watching,
yeah.
But I will say, like, you know, I really enjoyed the content that Kevin Samuels left behind because it was so controversial. I loved reading the comments and that shit. But I will say a couple things that he always repeatedly said, like, men control the relationships. And I mean, he meant like the, oh, this is going to happen between you and I. Men have the control in that, not women. And secondly, he's like, so what, are you just going to be a modern day woman? And then down the road, you're just going to be surrounded by things, not necessarily things, but if you're on this purposeful path, you may end up with things. That's why you have to find fulfillment in your life. And when I was watching something I took away from watching Mission Impossible today, I know this is like fantasy of silly, but it's true. It was kind of some food for thought, like the role that Tom Cruise's character plays in Mission Impossible, of like the isolated, you lose your identity and you're watching from the shadows. You're watching from, you know, the outside of like people living their lives. That's kind of how I think I treated the times that I would pressure men to be in a relationship with me, because it was like, but that would feel so nice. That would be nice to have that. But was it really what I wanted? No, because then boom, the next day I was focused on my goals. I was focused on my purpose. So I think it was just more admiration from the shadows.
Savage.
I know, but I'm taking accountability because I really had to ask myself through my own accountability and healing, like, why did I pressure to be in those times that I did in those relationships when I knew damn well I didn't really want to be in those relationships and have to do what a woman to date that man would have to do and tolerate? No, I wouldn't have wanted that. So why did I try to force it? Because I think it's like Pam Anderson's documentary. I think I'm in love with love. Does that make sense?
Yes. Ooh, like chasing the fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
But we're at 71 minutes. So I don't know. I don't want this to cut us off mid discussion. But I really, again, it just always flows naturally with us. And yeah. I think that there was a lot of important gems. Whether people listening are judging or not, doesn't matter. This is life. This is life on planet Earth, live and in your face. You know, like, people are trying to figure it out, what works for them, what doesn't, and feeling confident that who cares if people judge you, and also not having to disclose your personal business to people. Facts. Just live your life.
Live your life.
Live your life.
Somebody gonna like it.
Yeah. You'll find your path. Just keep trying.
Yeah.
And what works for you works for you. And what doesn't brings you closer to what does.
I say it again. Live your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in it.
So any last piece that you want to leave about polyamory? Do you think you'll ever get married?
Man, I'm open to it, but like, I ain't looking for it. It needs to be a business decision, you know? And I honestly wish I could marry more than one woman.
Funny, but it's funny.
I'm just saying, because like, I'm a for real entrepreneur, you know? So like,
yeah, you are.
If these women, all of us can get on the same page, right? And let's just say it's three of us and maybe we all making six figures, whatever. And we all are putting into the basket together, because I look at it as we're multiplying income. Just imagine your income by yourself or what you're capable of doing, right? So now if we can multiply you, what that looks like, even more.
Isn't that what marriage is? Isn't that why people get married?
It should be. So then if I add one more, why are we not doing this? But we got on the same page, and we understand the common goal of the kingdom that we creating. You know, forget everybody outside that don't understand it, because let's be broke, miserable, in these toxic relationships, this fairy tale world. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, da 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 da. Well, you die alone. You do what you do then. You know, ain't nobody asking for your two cents like that. If you don't like it, look the other way. Keep strolling. Look the other way. It's a lot of content and people that you can entertain or be entertained by. Don't focus on the things that does not entertain, you know, that you're not connected with. You know what I'm saying? Like even your podcast, you know, the content that we're creating right now. If you don't like it, that's fine. But maybe you can share it. You're a weird friend that like, girl, this might be something you being.
Right, because I don't have the advice for you. So here you go. I found this episode.
Still share it.
Help your friends. If you don't know what to say to them, pass this along. Awesome. But I will end on this. And this is something that helped me through the realization of why am I jealous? Because I always ask myself, because I want to get to the root of something, why? And my answer to myself is, and this goes for both ways, I don't own that person, and that person doesn't own me. So when you understand that, which is why a lot of relationships are so controlling and like, oh no, I'd never be okay with it, because people are out here thinking that they own each other, and you don't. We come into this life alone. We leave alone. And we also leave naked. But it's like, if you get that understanding, is like, not everybody, like you said, is going to be into monogamy. Not everybody's going to be into open relationships or polyamory. But just remember, no matter what, you don't own that person. Ever, ever, ever. You don't control their parts. You don't get to, you know, say, hey, that, and that's mine. Like, maybe in a fun, playful way. But no, you don't ever own anybody. And that's where I think the freedom of jealousy starts to break away.
Yeah, that's deep, girl. Oh my God, that's gonna go over a lot of people's heads, and they may not even like hearing that. But yo,
of course, because it's been conditioned in us that getting into a relationship means, well, you're mine. You don't get to do that. You don't get to go out there and act like that. You don't get to dress like that. Yeah. I mean, like, you see it all the time.
Man, oh my God, let me ask you a question then, because I like that. Do you think that, let's just say, because I know dudes begin bash for saying things like this. Let's just say when he's in a serious relationship, if he doesn't want his girl dressing like this, it's like, but he's presented in a way of where he's letting her know, like, you can do what you want, but for me to be in a monogamous, serious relationship, I don't want my woman to be in society like that. But you can do what you want. In giving her the decision to, you know, respect what he wants our relationship or ending it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is very timely, because just this past week, Jonah Hill, the actor, his ex-girlfriend went to the internet, exposed all of their text messages of him saying, this is making me feel uncomfortable, but did it in a therapy type of talk. Where it was like, I respect you. If you're not okay with this, that's fine. Because she's a surfer.
Okay.
And he met her when she was a surfing instructor. He did not want her to wear a bikini in the ocean around other men. Well, dude, she's a surfer. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But in the text message, he said, you know, if I want you to be happy, and if this is not okay with you, I completely understand, but these are my boundaries. So then the conversation was, oh, he was a misogynist and all that, whatever. But she chose to go to the internet to expose it. And this is exactly what we're talking about. He did not feel comfortable with other men being around her in a bikini. So he politely or respectfully in a therapy, therapist way, said, please don't wear a bathing suit around other men. Well, obviously she was not okay with that. Plus it's part of her career, you know? So it's like, at that point, yeah. And then he even said, then maybe I'm not the partner for you.
I don't like that situation.
I don't either. I thought that was insecure as fuck, but yeah, you know.
Different, because she was a surfer before he dated, like, got.
Exactly.
So that's not cool, man.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Oh,
yeah.
It was a weird, but I'm using that as example because it was like fresh in my mind, because I'm still like, why would you say that? But you got to think about like how many different dynamics are out there of what bothers people and what they're voicing as a concern of like, hey, this is my boundary and you're crossing it. But right. It could look a thousand different ways depending on who you are and what your relationship style is.
I agree.
You know. So, well, I think this is a good place to wrap it up. We're at coming up to 80 minutes. This is longer than the last one.
I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I need you to research to see how long can these podcasts actually go, because Joe Rogan is going for 3 hours.
I know, but who's really going to want to listen to 3 hours?
Yo, I'm a podcaster. I've been listening to podcasts. Girl, I've been telling you about podcasts for how long? I listen to no podcasts like that. And doing weird stuff, DoorDash, and I'd be listening to long-ass podcasts.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Your content. People will listen to you. Dang, she knows to listen to, and you're informing them.
Listen, there's a lot of toxic mouthpieces out there, so I'm just trying to combat that. You know, I'm trying to be a truthful, empowering voice out in the world. That's my legacy. That's what I tell myself. This is my legacy. Whether it expands from here or not, no matter what, you Google my name, that shit pops up on the internet. I'm out there.
Hey.
I'm on YouTube. Matter of fact, I was watching old interviews I did at former radio stations that I had never seen in my fucking life. And it had all these views, all these comments. I'm like, I did not know. And that was 7 years ago.
Wow.
And I was, yeah, it was pretty cool. Hey. I was like, what a unexpected joy.
I love it. I'm so proud of you. I just
thank you. You've always been a very, very supportive friend, and I appreciate you. You've always been in my corner. You've obviously, you're like, well, I can't force you to do it, but you've never allowed me to make excuses for very long, because I'm a procrastinator when it comes to me. I'm like, oh, I don't know. But you know, it's always a work in progress.
So
thank you again for your vulnerability and your transparency and just coming to the table with good shit from a male perspective and from a very uniquely carved relationship style and the confidence to be who you are in this type of society and what you choose to have your relationship category look like and feel like.
I love that. And on that note, I appreciate you. Till next time.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank my friend Zoe for yet again joining me on another soul session of A Walk Back to Self-Love. And hopefully you enjoyed this open yet still not quite embraced topic within romantic relationships. And my piece of advice to you is, do what makes you happy. You know, the more that we authentically live our lives, I truly believe the happier we will be as a whole in society. Until next time, be kind to yourself and be kind to others.